are meant to call from out of the past. Stories, strange and weird.
Tales of mystery and terror by radio's masters of the macabre.
Stories of the supernatural, the supernormal, dramatized by fact, the mystery, the unknown. We tell you this frankly. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these madmen, play, we urge you calmly, seriously, to turn off your radio now.
Welcome back to The Horror. Thanks for joining me this Saturday. We'll hear from Nightfall this week, a series from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. It aired from July of 1980 to June of 1983, produced 107 episodes. Our story today is from December 19th, 1980. It's titled On Christmas Day in the Morning. Here's Nightfall.
In the dream, you are falling. Lost in the listening distance as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. Tonight we have a special kind of Christmas story for you. Originally from the precise pen of the English short story writer Marjorie Allingham, our new adaptation is by Don Dickinson and Alan Gutman, and it takes a few liberties with time and place, as well as intent. But the season remains the same. It's 1944, and our setting is rural Ontario. And surely nothing bad could happen on Christmas Day in the morning.
All right, now, everybody, here we go for the big finale. Glad to have you with us this year, Judge. We need a good bass.
I'll give it my best, Chief.
All right, now. One, two, three.
Sleeping heavenly dreams. Sleeping heavenly
dreams.
Coffee would be lovely, Mrs. Jacobs. And that was a superb lunch.
Oh, why, thank you, Judge. Coffee, Bob?
Yeah, I'm sure we could all use some. And how about some liqueurs?
Could you get them out of the buffet, darling?
Yeah, I think that's your department, love.
Yeah, we'll be in the study.
Yes, yes, of course, dear.
So, how's retirement treating you, Judge?
Oh, it's a little early to tell, but if today's any indication, I'm going to settle into Port Pike just fine.
Good. I hope you don't find things too tame here after the big city. Cigar, Judge?
Hmm? Oh, Cuban?
Yeah, I love a good cigar. Weren't for this damn war, they'd be a lot easier to get.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Hmm. Well, here in Canada, thank God, we're removed from the worst of it.
Yeah, true, but they can't put Hitler in his place soon enough for me.
Oh, you're not alone there, Chief. My, this is a most enjoyable cigar. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Please, call me Bob.
Well, all right, Bob. The way things are going, they'll have put Hitler in his place before next Christmas.
Yeah, I'll drink to that. If Marie ever shows up with the coffee and liqueurs.
The notion of war seems so inappropriate at this time of year.
Yeah, quite right. Well, we shouldn't let it dampen our spirits. In fact, you know, I've got good reason to celebrate this Christmas.
Oh?
Yeah. It looks like the province is going to buy a big parcel of land I own just south of town. Good price, too.
Well?
Well, nobody gets rich being chief of police. Not in a small town, anyway.
The province, what's their interest in that land?
Well, there's a new highway coming through.
Really?
Yeah, not many did. They kept it pretty quiet.
Well, how did you find out?
You mean, you hear things. Mayor's office, But I had my eye on it for years, mind you. Be great for the town, you know, new jobs and businesses and tourists. Yeah, it's going to put a lot of money in a lot of pockets.
I dare say.
Yeah, it's the small businessmen who'll reap the benefits. Yeah, and the farmers, faster transportation. Yeah, this town has to move with the times.
Yes, although I feel that growth always has its price.
Here they are, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, sorry, Bob. Look, I got to talk to you. I've got trouble.
Marie, will you leave our coffee on the table? Yeah, thanks. And, dear, would you close the door?
Oh, of course, dear. We won't bother you a bit.
Bob, I don't know what to do.
Looks like he's really done it this
Royce,
time.
Where are your manners?
What?
Aren't you going to wish Judge Lewis a Merry Christmas?
Oh, sure. Merry Christmas, Judge.
Judge, you remember our somewhat excitable mayor, Royce Andrews?
Of course. Happy Christmas, Mr. Mayor.
Now, settle down, Royce. It's a holiday, for God's sake. Can't this wait till next week?
Not this time. It's murder.
Murder? Now, Royce, you better sit down. You want a coffee?
Yeah, please.
Royce.
Sorry, Bob. My God, I can't stop shaking.
Judge, you'll have to excuse Royce. He's not used to these calamities.
I understand. But it would appear that Port Pike is apparently not so different from the big city after all.
Yeah, what happened, Royce?
It's old man Noakes.
The mailman?
Yeah. He's dead. Killed out on Ashby Road. Looks like a hit and run.
Any suspects?
I'm afraid so. My son and that girl he's been seeing.
Oh, that damn kid again. Well, this had to happen sooner or later.
But it's not his fault.
Yeah, it never
is. It's different this time. There's something strange going on.
Yeah, what do you mean?
They found Noakes dead on Ashby Road, 200 yards from the crossroads, where they figure he was hit. But apparently he had just delivered mail to someone a mile off Ashby Road.
And what's so unusual about that?
Well, do you think he got hit, walked a mile into the bush, delivered somebody's mail, then walked a mile back to the main road to drop dead?
That doesn't sound very plausible. Whose mail did he deliver?
Some old woman named Marjorie Fison. Lives in the old Benson place.
I didn't know anybody lived up there.
Neither did I. But she does, all right. A strange one.
Stated that the Allied forces were braced for an all-out effort.
Not the war news, Hicks. Try something else.
Elsewhere.
That's more like it.
May your days be merry and bright.
Afternoon, sir.
As you were, Benham.
Except for the singing.
Yes, sir. Singing.
The radio, Hicks.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Oh, boy, we're going to have to give you a bigger heating budget, Bob. It's freezing in here.
You like some coffee? Hicks, get the mayor some. You, Judge?
No, thank you.
Well, Benham, I understand you were the investigating officer on the Noakes hit and run.
Yes, sir. That's correct, sir.
Well, get on with it. Tell him about the mail.
All right, Royce. Take it easy.
Hey, here's your coffee, Mr. Mayor.
Hicks?
Yes, Chief?
We're going to talk to the hit-and-run suspects. Take him to my office.
Right away, sir.
Well, Benham, what happened?
I beg your pardon, sir, but who's this gentleman?
I'm Judge Donald Lewis, retired. I'm here in an unofficial capacity.
With all due respect, Judge, I can't see that we really need you.
Royce?
Well, no, really, Bob. Don't you think this would be better handled as a private police matter?
With all due respect, Mr. Mayor, that is your son in custody in there.
I'm well aware.
And he may be in need of some expert legal advice before the day is out.
Oh, I see.
Now, Royce, we have nothing to hide from an ex-judge. Besides, you were the one who told him the story.
Yes, of course. I guess I'm just a little rattled. My son in jail. For the press.
Yeah, we all understand, Royce. Benham, fill us in on the details.
Yes, sir. The deceased was proceeding in a northerly direction on a two-wheeled vehicle at approximately 9:28 a.m., his visibility impaired by a moderate snowstorm. The alleged impact vehicle...
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, Benham, you've been listening to too much Boston Blackie. Now, start again and make it simple so the mayor can understand.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. It's kind of hard to explain. Let me draw it for you.
Go ahead.
Okay, now here's Ashby Road running north and south.
Yeah.
And here's Simcoe Road running across it east and west.
Right.
So it's at the crossroads, as far as we can tell, that Noakes was hit. He'd been heading north along Ashby Road.
Anybody see him?
Yes, sir. Check that out myself. Charlie Decker put the lift bridge down for him a little before 9.
Where is the lift bridge, Constable?
Down here, Judge, about a mile south of the crossroads.
Ah.
Where did they find him?
Up here, about 200 yards north of the crossroads.
Well, what about the car, Benham?
I was patrolling eastbound on Simcoe, heading towards the crossroads, when I found a suspect vehicle in the ditch at the side of the road. Apparently, it had been heading westbound.
Did another car force it off the road?
I don't think so, Mr. Mayor. See, I didn't see any other cars west of the crossroads. Charlie said nobody else had gone over the bridge that morning from the south, and we had to close the road a few miles north of the crossroads late last night because of the snow.
Well, someone could have come along, Simcoe, from the east, hit Noakes, turned around and gone back the way he came.
Yeah, what about that, Benham? The real culprit could be miles from here by now.
Good point, sir.
Aha.
But I thought of that myself. There was a telephone repair crew working about 2 miles east of the crossroads on Simcoe, about here. The suspect vehicle was the only one they saw on the road that morning.
Yeah, very efficient, Benham.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, well, it does sound open and shut, Royce.
But the mail! Tell him about the mail, for God's sake.
That's the strange part of it, sir. On questioning the local residents, I found that a Mrs. Fison had her mail delivered this morning.
Yeah, go on.
Well, we found Noakes' bicycle here at the crossroads, and his body about 200 yards north. Mrs. Fison's place is between those two spots, but a mile into the bush. Dr. Jenkins said Noakes couldn't have lived more than 5 minutes after he was hit.
Which begs the question, how did a mortally injured man drag himself 2 miles in a snowstorm there and back to deliver some letters?
Well, Benham, what do you make of it?
I don't know, sir. It's a strange one.
I'll tell you what I make of it. Noakes wasn't hit by a car at all. Any hard evidence?
Well, not exactly. Doc Jenkins said any blunt object could have caused the injury.
Well, there you are. Noakes probably left the bike at the crossroads because of the snow. While he was tramping around in the bush, he probably came across somebody still. You know what goes on up there, Bob.
Yeah, that's true.
The guy clubbed Noakes, panicked, dragged him back out into the road to make it look like a hit and run. Who found him out there, anyway?
Father Meehan found him on his way to Mass.
Did Father Meehan see anybody else?
He didn't see anything.
You should be out in the bush breaking up those whiskey stills instead of putting innocent boys in jail.
Royce, calm down.
What about the boy, Constable? What was he doing at the side of the road?
He was being ill, sir.
What?
Well, he and his companion had consumed... That is, they were under the influence... They'd been drinking, sir. Heavily.
I see.
What condition are they in now?
Much better. More scared than anything.
Fine. Maybe we can scare some facts out of them.
Damn. Look at the time. Probably breaking out the good stuff at the party by now. You want a cigarette?
No. I still don't feel so good.
Hey, don't worry. We'll be out of here in no time. Get the party. We'll have a few drinks. Maybe a little fun on the way home.
Oh, Jimmy. How do you think about that now? I'm sure we hit him.
I'm telling you, we hit the bike.
I just keep thinking about that awful thud. We hit him.
It was the bike. Now, listen, my dad must have heard about this by now. There's nothing to worry about.
Why didn't you stop? Why'd you keep going?
Because he was okay. You just keep your mouth shut and everything will...
Afternoon, Jim. Carol Ann.
Hi.
Merry Christmas.
Hello, son.
Well, Dad, you certainly took your time getting here. Who's this?
This is Judge Lewis, son.
Hello, Jimmy.
He's here to help us.
Help us? What do you mean?
The car just went off the road. What's the big deal?
He's dead, Jim. Now, I know you didn't do it.
What are you talking about? Who's dead?
Oh, Jim, I knew you should have stopped. Oh, God, what are we going to do?
Philip Noakes is dead.
Chief, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm telling the truth.
Benham, you wait outside, please.
What? Oh, yes, sir. I'll be down the hall if you need me.
Jimmy, I think you better tell us what you know. I gotta sit down.
Well, there's not that much to tell. I admit I saw Noakes. Stupid old man. He's right out in the middle of the road, and he's pushing that crummy bicycle. He pushed it right in front of the car. I sideswiped it, I guess.
You guess you sideswiped it?
Okay, I hit it. Stupid old...
What did Mr. Noakes do?
Do? Well, he was mad. He started swearing at me. You should have heard the language.
Is that the way it happened, Carol Ann?
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's how it happened.
So Mr. Noakes wasn't injured at all?
Nobody would have wrung my neck if he'd stuck around.
What did I tell you? It had to be somebody else. And then what happened?
Well, it was snowing pretty hard. And just west of the crossroads, I'm going to have to hit an icy patch and just get it off the road.
Were you drunk?
No.
Judge, you have any questions?
Not just now.
Then I think we should take a look at the scene of the accident.
Bob, these kids have been through a lot today. Sure, you're not going to hold them any longer?
Yeah, right. I'm sure we could arrange
that. Pardon me, Chief. Perhaps you should examine the spot before you make that decision.
No, see here.
No. He's right, Royce. We mustn't show any partiality.
I'll have Hicks make you two as comfortable as possible.
Benham?
Yes, sir.
Get my car. We're going out on Ashby Road to have a look around.
Yes, sir. Right away.
The judge and I will meet you at the car, Royce.
Be right there.
You better be telling the truth, boy. The chief has helped me cover up your little adventures in the past, but this time, it's serious.
Mr. Andrews, it wasn't his fault.
Shut up, you little tramp. I suppose you bought him the liquor.
Dad, what are you...
Hey!
Jimmy!
Listen, if this thing goes to trial, there'll be more on the line than your skin. The chief and I have a good thing going. We don't need this kind of trouble. Do you hear me, boy?
Yeah. I hear you.
And you better pray it's not too late. Will you turn that thing down?
Sorry, sir.
And Judge, will you roll your window up? It's freezing in here.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. It was getting a little smoky.
Okay, I'll put it out.
Hey, there's the car up ahead. Yeah, it doesn't look too bad, Royce. That is a bit sharp, though.
That's an old dent.
Yeah, pull over, Benham. Let's have a look.
Not much to see here, sir. Snow's covered up the tracks.
Yeah, too bad. Well, maybe we'll just go on to the crossroads.
I'd like to take a quick look, if you don't mind, Chief.
Waste of time, if you ask me.
No, go right ahead, Judge. Benham, you go along with me.
Yes, sir.
Continue with our program of Christmas music in a moment. The CBC would like to take this opportunity to wish you season's greetings and a happy, prosperous new year. We now return to our presentation of Christmas music.
Bob, we've got to put a lid on this fast.
Calm down, Royce.
If this goes to court, there's no telling what else will come out. If they find out how we've stretched the law for Jim, it's not much of a jump to uncovering everything else.
I think I don't know that. I would you alone put us away for years.
Why have you got that nosy old coot following us around?
Listen to me, you idiot. You're the one who shot your mouth off in front of him in the first place. The man was a magistrate. I couldn't get rid of him after he'd heard everything.
Okay. So what are we going to do?
All right, first of all, you got to stop behaving like you've been caught with your hand in the till.
But I just...
Keep your head and let me handle it. Look, I managed to get you elected 3 times running. I can handle anything. What are you going to do with...
Shut up.
That's very interesting, Constable. I wonder what accounts for that.
Yeah, that accounts for what, Judge?
The unseasonable amount of snow you've had this year.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I have a theory about
that,
sir.
Did you find anything, Judge?
I'm afraid the Constable's right. The snow has covered everything. We did find some stains on the front fender. You may want to have them analyzed.
Mm-hmm.
But the key to this whole thing seems to be that old woman. What was her name, Benham?
Fison, sir. Mrs. Marjorie Fison.
Right. If Noakes did deliver mail to her, I think you'd better start looking for another suspect.
Well, let's get over there. All right, Constable. Fison. Marjorie Fison. Didn't know anyone by that name lived around here.
Maybe she's not on the boaters list.
Hmm. You talked to this woman, Benham?
Well, sort of, sir.
Sort of?
Well, don't get me wrong, sir. She seems like a nice old lady. But there's something... I don't know.
What?
There's just something odd about her. Very odd.
Thank you.
Seems unlikely a dying man could have covered this much ground. Any tracks when you were here this morning?
No, sir. The snow had covered everything. You all right, Judge?
I'm fine, but I think we're losing the mayor.
Hey, my shoe came off.
Oh, for... Well, maybe we better wait for him. Is it much farther?
Just see the roof behind this hill.
Looks a bit run down.
Yeah, place wasn't lived in for years. No wonder. Pretty isolated out here.
How close is the nearest house?
About a mile and a half, sir.
Damn shoe came off. My foot's wet. It'll kill me. Where is the place anyway?
Just over the hill.
Oh, damn. Oh, probably caught pneumonia out here. Well, this settles my mind. Nobody could make this trip after being struck by a car.
Constable, you actually saw the mail Philip Noakes delivered?
Yes, sir. They were all Christmas cards. About 15 or 20. Mrs. Fison made a point of showing me each one. Well, here we are.
Anybody home?
Just a moment. I'll be right with you.
Hope it's warm in there.
Four of you. Well, isn't that nice? Come in. Mind your poor head.
Ouch! What?
Oh, my, that must have hurt. You'll have to sit down at once. Most people have to stoop. I'm all right, you see, because I'm not tall. This is my chair here. Do sit down. Oh, my. Your shoe.
It's nothing, really.
Now, you must put your feet by the heater or you'll catch your death when you go out. So very chilly, isn't it? But seasonable. And that's always nice. Don't I know you?
Yes, ma'am. Constable Benham? I was here this morning.
Oh, yes. Of course. Didn't you have a beard then?
No, ma'am.
No, of course not. I was thinking of my uncle. He was a policeman, too.
Yeah, now, Mrs. Fison, we understand...
I hope I didn't keep you waiting outside too long. I was on the phone with dear Marion. My sister, you know. Don't see her so much since the children came along. Really has her hands full. But I do look forward to a call at Christmas.
Mrs. Fison, could you tell us...
Oh, I quite forgot to say it before. A Merry Christmas to you all. Isn't it wonderful how it keeps coming around? It's such a happy time, isn't it? Oh, would you like to hear something else?
Thank you, Mrs. Fison. Perhaps a little later. Let me shut it off for you.
Oh, I thank you. Do I know you?
No, I don't think so. I'm Judge Donald Lewis.
Oh, how do you do? A judge. In my home. Marion would be so impressed.
Mrs. Fison, we do apologize for imposing on you.
Not at all. Visitors are a great treat. Not everybody braves my footpath in the winter.
But someone was here today.
Oh, why, yes. Only this morning there was a young man, a policeman to be exact. You know, you look a lot like him.
Yes, ma'am.
He had a beard, though. Anyhow, he came all the way over to wish me compliments of the season and to see if I'd got my mail.
And you did. Those cards on the mantel.
Oh, it's lovely to see them all up there again. One of the real joys of Christmas, isn't it? Messages from people you love and who love you. And all so pretty.
Did you come down to meet the mailman?
I wasn't up. Wasn't it dreadful? I was late this morning. In fact, I was only just picking the letters off the mat there when the policeman called. He helped me gather them. Nice boy. There was such a lot. I just lay in bed this morning, thinking of them, instead of moving.
Still, you knew they were there.
Oh, yes, I knew they were there. May I offer you a cup of tea?
No, thank you. But may I use your phone? My wife will be wondering where I am.
Of course. It's just through that door and to your right.
Thank you. I won't be long.
How are your shoes? Are they dry?
Just about. Bob, are we nearly through here?
Yeah, as soon as the judge gets back. Yeah, living way out here must have its problems.
It's not so bad, really. A boy comes out every few weeks with my supplies. A visitor once in a while. And then there are my cards. Don't they look lovely?
Yes, quite nice.
You were right, young man. That's just the place for them.
Thank you, ma'am.
You taking up decorating, Benham?
Yes, good.
They seem to add so much to the place. This one in particular. It's from my son.
May I see that?
Of course. Oh, I do hope your wife wasn't worried.
What? Oh, no, no. Everything is just fine. You say this is from your son?
His name's Daniel. Such a handsome boy. Strong chin, just like his father. I just can't believe he's old enough to be in the army.
Really? Where is he stationed?
It's on the envelope.
France? What regiment?
The Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders.
I've heard of that one. Well, gentlemen, I think we've taken up enough of Mrs. Fison's time.
You watch the beam, Royce.
What's that?
Duck your head.
Thank you for your hospitality, Mrs. Fison. I hope we didn't disturb you.
Not at all. Not at all.
Here's your son's card.
You know, I think I'd like you to have that.
What? Oh, no, no, I couldn't. Your son's card.
I'm sure he'd want you to have it, too.
Well,
Imagine a judge in my house.
I don't know what to say.
Of course you do. Merry Christmas.
A very merry day, indeed.
Well, let's go.
Bob.
Yeah, thank you for your cooperation, Mrs. Fison.
No trouble at all. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Judge.
Goodbye, Mrs. Fison.
Well, that was a waste of time.
It had to be done, Royce.
Benham, you better get more men out here and comb the area. Maybe Noakes' killer hasn't got too far yet.
Right, Chief.
If you'd listened to me in the first place, we wouldn't have to come all the way out here. The killer's probably out of the province by now.
Not unless he broke out of your jail. I think there's more to this than meets the eye.
What? What are you getting at, Judge?
Do you see any phone lines?
Phone lines? What are you...
I thought something was strange when I discovered the phone was disconnected. Mrs. Fison said she had just received a call.
You're right, Judge. You can see where the lines used to be hooked up.
Yeah, that was the first thing. Then her son's regiment, the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders. I have a nephew serving with those boys, and they've never been overseas. Not in this war.
This war?
Take a look at the card. See the date.
December 1916?
What's all this nonsense mean?
God.
It means, Mr. Mayor, that Philip Noakes was nowhere near this place today.
What?
What we've discovered, gentlemen, is a sad ritual. I guess she'd been putting out the same cards every year from people who are long gone. Poor dear. She probably thinks it is 1916.
Then Jimmy...
Shut up, Royce. Yeah, Jimmy did it. And we're gonna pay for it.
I don't understand, sir. Is something wrong?
Leave them alone, Constable. Let them enjoy their Christmas while they can.
You have just heard On Christmas Day in the Morning, a dramatization of the Marjorie Allingham short story by Don Dickinson and Alan Gutman. Sandy Webster starred as Judge Donald Lewis, with Colin Fox as Mayor Royce Andrews, and Arch McDonnell as Police Chief Bob Jacobs. Sandra Scott played Mrs. Fison, and Robert Haley was heard as Benham. Elva Mae Hoover played Mrs. Jacobs, as well as Carol Ann. Michael Wincott was Jimmy, and John Stocker played both Hicks and the radio announcers. Our recording engineer is John Jessup, with sound effects by Bill Robinson and Kathy Perry. Our production assistant is Nina Callahan, and the series story editor is Earl Toppings. Nightfall is produced and directed for CBC Radio by Bill Howell.
That's it for this episode of The Horror. You can find more from Nightfall at RelicRadio.com alongside thousands of other old-time radio shows, all the other Relic Radio podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and everything else we have going on. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, you can click on that donate button. It's how this is all made possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of The Horror.